Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. It is an NFL Thursday. Am I allowed to say that since there's actually a college football game going on tonight? Am I allowed to say that? You know what?
What?
NFL's the final step, so I'm going to call it an NFL Thursday. Because on this podcast, on this wholesome podcast,
on this hallowed pod,
we talk NFL teams on a Thursday. Ben, we've been going through the NFL week by week every Thursday, looking at the lines, looking at what teams are favored, talking about the matchups, and then making the picks. Are you feeling good going into week three as we are about to embark on another set of picks? I believe after week one, my friend, I was ahead in the picks.
It was like 8-7-1, 7-8-1.
I believe after 1 week,
we can all remain very calm.
I believe after one, you know, at this rate, we are currently on pace, Ben.
On pace.
For me to then be 16 games ahead of you by the time the season's over.
Yeah, but that's exactly how things work after 1 week. That has no bearing on anything.
Listen, math is my friend when it works out for me. I am not afraid to pull out math if it if it goes in my favor.
I will wield the might of math.
The might of math.
Trevor, we have 220-plus point spreads this weekend. Two.
Jesus Christ. Two. Oh,
but
my.
There's one spread that is more than three touchdowns, and then there's a whole nother one that's also more than three touchdowns.
We can actually touch on this a little bit. You know, we talked last week when New England was favored by 19.5, right? And It was wild because you said that the team who is favored by 19, what was it, more than 17?
Or
was
it more than 17 while on the road?
While on the road, had never covered before, right?
Yes.
And New England not only covered, they covered twice. Doubled the 19.5 that they were favored, winning 43-0 against the Miami Dolphins. I don't want to say Vegas is in trouble, but Vegas is in a very odd position here with what the Miami Dolphins are doing, because the Dolphins, after trading Tunsil, okay, yeah, like y'all are all in on the tank. I get, after trading Minka, this is going to be a barren wasteland by the time the trade deadline rolls around.
Let us not disparage Jakeem Grant.
They're going to, at this point, they're going to get so antsy. They're going to, week six is going to roll around and they're going to be like, we got to trade Christian Wilkins. We need another first round pick. We got to deal him.
They got the itch, baby. They got the itch. It's very funny because, like, last week we had the giant Dolphins-Patriots spread, and then the Patriots absolutely murdered the Dolphins, and it's like Vegas decided, okay, whoever's playing the Dolphins will just be favored by 20, and whoever the Patriots are playing will be underdogs by 20. And that's not how it happened, obviously. The Patriots are catching the Jets while Luke Falk is their starting quarterback. And the Dolphins are catching a Cowboys team where the ceiling on this offense is absolutely astronomical. So it's not what it looks like, which is like, all right, the Patriots beat the Dolphins so bad that the Dolphins are just going to be giant underdogs and the Patriots are going to be giant favorites forever. That's not actually what happened, but it does kind of look like that. It's very funny to note, Patriots Jets opened up at 20 and is 22.5.
Wait, you can't get to it. You can't, like, get to it yet.
Why not?
Because we're not at that game yet.
Oh, I thought we were talking. You know what? You're right. Trevor, I forgot something critical about this show. It's your podcast.
What are we without order, Ben? What are we?
Anything this podcast is that it is regimented, it is clear, and it is orderly.
There is a strict schedule. In 3 minutes and 41 seconds, we will move on to the next game.
Wow. We're going to talk about a game for 3 minutes and 38 seconds?
No, probably not. Tennessee Titans open up this week on Thursday. They're traveling to Jacksonville. At the time that we are recording this podcast, Jalen Ramsey is still a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I assume that that's still going to be the case because they are searching for two first-round picks. And I don't think the price tag for Jalen, as much as NFL teams would probably, certainly love to have him, especially teams like Philadelphia or like Kansas City, it could make a lot of sense for them. LA could be as well if they could figure out the cap, which the cap is a lie, so I guess that they probably could. Two first-round picks is a lot. It's a steep price. So I think the teams are going to wait it out and realize that Jalen Ramsey is once again going to go nuclear on Doug Marrone at some point before the trade deadline. And at that point, the trade value will move down. So as of this moment, Tennessee traveling to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tennessee's on the road. They're favored by 1.5. Jacksonville still has Jalen Ramsey. Your thoughts, Ben?
I do think Jalen Ramsey will still be there. I do think Jalen Ramsey is highly incentivized to play well. Because I think the most powerful spot Jalen Ramsey can put him in right now, and I don't know if you saw Jalen Ramsey's the press conference that he had on Tuesday, it was. The best place Ramsey can put himself in is a position where he plays well and then gets a microphone in front of him at the end of the game. Because Ramsey with a microphone, Doug Marrone sees Ramsey with a microphone in his sleeve.
I just want to drive up to Jacksonville to see if I can get a credential to just try to screw stuff up.
Absolutely. I just asked Ramsey the most leading questions of all time.
That would actually be my second time screwing everything up to Jacksonville, because do you remember the Allen Robinson video a couple of years ago?
No.
Okay, so there was a clip when Allen Robinson was still with the Jags. I believe this had to have been 2016.
Okay.
The Buccaneers were...
I was not on Twitter yet.
Okay, the Buccaneers were doing a joint practice with the Jacksonville Jaguars going into their preseason game. I believe it was like
nothing
preseason week three.
Nothing good ever comes out of joint practice.
For me it does.
Well, yeah, for the media.
Love it. So Blake Bortles fires this pass so far out of bounds that Allen Robinson catches it, and he's like 3 feet out of bounds. And he falls over like one of the camera people, and he falls over the Bucs DB. And so he's getting up. It's hot in Jacksonville. They're frustrated. Jacksonville's been losing a bunch. And he just goes, he says on camera, he's like, "Man, you got to keep that shit in bounds." And I'm sitting right there, and I'm recording this play, like, for Twitter, just to, you know, in case something happened. And I catch all of this on video. I immediately post the video, and I say what Allen Robinson said, and oh my sweet Jesus, did it blow up. Lord, did it blow up.
That's some pure 100% crystalline Blork Battles content right there, brother.
And the Jacksonville Jaguars PR staff, I'm sure, I apologize to all of you. It was not my fault that this happened, but I am apologizing for ruining your day by pressing send on that tweet.
Had to be done.
It wasn't anything personal. It wasn't anything against you guys, but it had to be done. And so if I went up to Jacksonville and tried to F it up again, that would be the second time that happened.
Jalen, I don't know if you remember, but Allen Robinson once told me that Blake Bortles needs to keep his hand out. So I think Ramsey will play, and I think he'll play well.
Yeah,
I don't anticipate him getting moved before then. I have zero faith in Tennessee to do anything. As you so eloquently put it earlier this week, Tennessee doesn't even know what they're going to do.
No.
So I do like Jacksonville +1.5 here. I do think Jacksonville has a good chance of winning this game.
Wow.
Home game for Gardner Minshew. Settled, not the first career start, the second career start. Had some nice magic and momentum coming into the fourth quarter. Obviously, they don't come out with the win, but built up some good steam there in the fourth quarter. I expect that to carry over. I think Jacksonville wins the game.
Man, I'm with you. I would have been picking Jacksonville anyways. There's two quarterbacks in this game. One of them's good.
The other's Marcus Mariota.
The other one's Marcus Mariota. And so I'm riding with Gardner Minshew, taking him. Although I think Jacksonville wins this game. I think they win outright, not just with the points. So go Jags. Thursday night football. Sir. Tennessee Jags is like the most Thursday night football game I can possibly think of.
You say that because it is.
Okay.
Because Thursday night football has existed for like 8 years,
mm-hmm.
and Tennessee Jacksonville, I kid you not, has been on Thursday night football for 712 of those 8 years. It's unbelievable. One of the craziest stats in all football.
I mean, listen, we already said we're not afraid to bring out math. You know, it's to our advantage.
Especially when it works for us.
Denver Broncos travel to the Green Bay Packers, the undefeated Green Bay Packers. Packers are favored by 7.5 at Lambeau, hosting the Broncos, who lost in a heartbreaker to the Chicago Bears last week. Ben, who are you like in this one?
I like Green Bay. I like Green Bay a fair bit. As I said this, you know, before week two, and I'm saying it now before week three, Rodgers is going to continue to improve in the new offense. The team is going to continue to come together, and I think the Mike Pettine defense is splendid. Oh, I like Mike Pettine a fair bit. I like him a lot. I think that this is a game that Green Bay wins pretty handily.
I do think Green Bay wins pretty handily. But you know what? I'm going to pick Denver here with the 7.5. I believe that a Fangio team's going to get real pissed off from what happened last week. I think they're going to go into Green Bay. I'm not picking Denver to win the game, but I am picking Denver to cover. I believe. Hey, didn't Andrew Aaron Rodgers get points last week, Ben?
I believe he did. Yes,
and,
he did.
And you know, there's one rule on this podcast.
Absolutely, there is one and only one rule
only
on
one
this
rule.
Podcast.
We take Aaron Rodgers when he's getting points. He's not getting points this week. That's why I'm not taking him. That's actually not why I'm not taking
him. Also, he was not getting points last week. They're favored by 3.
Oh, I thought he was getting points. When was he getting points? No. The week before? I could have sworn he was getting points.
In week one, he was getting 3 points against the Bears.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that was the game.
So,
that
we always say on this podcast, yes, there's only one rule. And
only
it applies
one
2 weeks earlier than we thought it did.
Yes.
When Aaron Rodgers is getting points.
Detroit Lions travel to the Philadelphia Eagles, the future home, the future home of Jalen Ramsey.
Don't even. Trevor.
Would you rather? Hey, Ben, I don't know if you talked about this on Twitter. I really don't. I'm not being sarcastic here. Would you have rather had Minka for a first or Jalen for 2 firsts?
Oh, okay. For a first, 2 firsts, Minka, that's not a question. Okay. You got to pay Ramsey at least 6-7 times what you're paying Minka over the next 3 years. Minka's cost-controlled $6 million for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Ramsey is on $6 million right now. You got to play the remainder of that. And you got to pay almost $14 million on his fifth-year option the next year, and then you got to pay the extension money. He's pricey.
Yeah. He
and
is.
So for 2 firsts, I prefer Minka. If the costs are a little bit more equivalent, like Minka was a straight first, if Ramsey's a first, and then as we've heard from Diana Rossini of ESPN, there's an NFC team with a first and a 2021 fifth on the table. And that's Philly on there, lock it in. And in that case, while I still think Minka is a stupendous player, Ramsey solves a lot of Philly's problems.
Uh-huh.
Man, I'm in on Ramsey to Philly. Yes.
Anyways,
sir.
They don't have Ramsey. But Detroit, Philadelphia, in Philly, wacky game Philly played against Atlanta the week before. Philly's favored by 6.5.
Oh, you have 6.5? I see 7. Six and a half. Like, obviously this is a key number, so now it's tricky. Like, dance around 7 is tough. At +7, I definitely was thinking about Detroit. There's a good chance that Philadelphia does not have both DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey in this game, as well as tight end Dallas Goedert. You're looking at 3 of the top 5 targets being out. The Eagles' defensive tackle rotation has been decimated. Malik Jackson and now Tommy Jernigan are both been lost for significant time, if not both of them, for the entire duration of the season. Philly's dealing with some injury, and they can't cover. They really struggled in the secondary the first couple weeks. I think that Detroit at +6.5 is a pretty good value bet in this situation. We have no idea where Philly's health is going to be. And subsequently, you know, we expect them to still be okay and hang around there. But this is a Detroit team that held Chargers to 10, 13 points. Can't remember what it was. But this Detroit defense got some teeth to it. So I think the Detroit within 6.5 is a good bet.
I'm with you. I'm picking Detroit here. I think Philly's got a better chance to obviously win the game, hence them being favored and being at home. But I'm worried about the weapons. I'm not worried about them like keeping up or anything like that. But when it comes to how decimated they are, getting 6.5, 7 points from Detroit, I've been pretty impressed with how Detroit's been able to move the ball. So I'm going to keep having faith in that, especially just a week after. I'm going to say Detroit's got it too. Give me Detroit in the 6.5 points.
Yeah.
This is a really good game here, this next one. A battle of the early narratives of teams that have really succeeded here in the first 2 weeks of the season. The Baltimore Ravens travel to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs at home at Arrowhead are favored by 7 points against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. The over-under for this game, Ben, is 55. That's a high over-under.
Ready?
Yes.
Baltimore's winning outright. Baltimore's winning outright.
So you taking? So you taking?
I'll take Kansas City against the spread. Baltimore.
A lot of confidence there, huh?
Yes. So I'll put it to you this way. I think this Baltimore team is real aptly suited to take on a Kansas City team. I think they can shorten the game by running the football, taking the play clock down, keeping Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. That's the number one thing in terms of limiting him. Number two thing in terms of limiting him is going to be able to capitalize on his errant throws, on his aggressive throws, on his downfield nature by generating turnovers. Nobody does that better than the Baltimore Ravens over the past few years. The addition of Earl Thomas as the middle fielder, a huge aspect of that. I think that Earl's going to be a big problem for Mahomes. Mahomes is really, really good at manipulating safeties. Earl Thomas is not a safety. He's a robot. He's a superhuman. I think that he's going to challenge Mahomes young, challenge Mahomes early. I don't think Kansas City has nearly the defensive speed to be able to hang out with Mark Andrews and Marquise Boykin heading down the seam. Lamar Jackson playing tremendous, inspired football. Big, big, big opportunity for a strong announcement performance. We are here. We are here to stay. We're the Baltimore Ravens. We got to take us seriously. I think Baltimore wins it.
This is going to be a fun game. I'm not sure if Baltimore wins it, but I think it's going to be a good back and forth battle.
Be a coward.
Calm down. I'm still picking Baltimore. That 7 points is too much to give up here in a matchup where either of these teams could score pretty much at will. I'm still not sold on Kansas City's defense, certainly, and versus the way the Lamar Jackson's been playing over the last couple of weeks. I know that first game was against Miami, and we're learning that that's basically what a D2 NFL team would be at this point. But still, whatever it was, it got his confidence up. They've been playing well through 2 weeks. This is going to be a fun, fun matchup. I can't believe this is a 1 o'clock game. I really can't. Seven's too many points. I'm taking Baltimore here. Not sure that they went out right. I don't really know who wins this game. You've got a lot more confidence in the Ravens than I do, but I certainly have a lot of confidence that this is going to be a fun game. Hey, victory lap on the podcast if they just come out and just start cruising, all right? On Monday.
Absolutely.
You better victory lap.
Also, if they lose, victory lap again, cuz independent of results, I was right.
Of course. That's always how it goes. Cincinnati's traveling to the Buffalo Bills. Bills favored by 6. In Buffalo.
Buffalo about to go 3-0?
Buffalo
about to go 3-0. There was an analyst on this podcast who thought that Buffalo was a sneaky playoff team. I can't remember his name. It wasn't Trevor. It's very difficult. I think Buffalo covers here. I like Buffalo by 6. I think that Buffalo's ability to cover in the back end with 6, cover in the back end with 7 is really, really impressive at this stage. They cause a lot of problems in terms of the length of their coverage, the duration of their coverage, and what that's able to do at the quarterback moving off of his spot. Running game moved on from LeSean McCoy, and we all thought for a second that maybe that would matter to them. It does not. The Buffalo running game has remained quite an issue, and they're doing exactly what they did last year. Josh Allen, either chuck it down the field or be your own check down. And that keeps him out of situations where he's generating dumb turnovers. Shaky start, obviously, against the Jets, but they're letting him throw the ball around the yard. And that's what it's going to be with Buffalo. So it's always scary. It's always a little bit shaky putting good, hard money on Buffalo, but I like him to cover.
Oh, we haven't disagreed yet. We're going to disagree here. I don't think Buffalo covers. I think Buffalo wins the football game. I think they win. I think they come out victorious in the football contest.
Oh, so like winning?
In the game of sport in which they are playing this Sunday, I believe the Bills will come out on top.
All right, I think I understand.
But it will not be more than 6 points. Taking Cincinnati. Atlanta traveling to Indianapolis. Atlanta's got all that juice, all that emotion, all that momentum after that Philly game. Heading to Indianapolis. Indianapolis favored by 2. Boy, who would have saw that coming 2 weeks ago? I would not have. The Andrew Luck announcement coming off the preseason. Who knows what the Colts were going to be? I didn't think that they were going to collapse. But certainly, I mean, like, I didn't think that they were going to be favored against the Falcons. I really didn't. I'll admit it to you. Here we are. They are. Favored by 2.
All right. I hear you. I'm not too surprised they're catching 2 at home against the Falcons. The Falcons, 4 beating the Eagles, did not look good when they were beating the Eagles. Matt Ryan is shaky behind an offensive line that continues to deal with injury and shuffling. Colts run a lot of twists. Matt Eberflus throws the kitchen sink at you in terms of where he's aligning those rushers, how they're getting to the quarterback. Very quiet second-year player who's having a tremendous start to the year, by the way, Kamoko Touré. edge out of Rutgers. Good football player. I like Indianapolis minus two here.
You know what?
Tell me what.
I trust the Indianapolis coaching staff more than I trust Atlanta's right now.
Good old Reich, comma Frank. I miss him and I love him.
I trust Indianapolis coaching staff to get it done because they have so far through 2 weeks, I think, relative to certainly their situations. And I think they're going to get it done versus Atlanta. If Atlanta can come out and really, really control this game and beat it, what I think is a good Indianapolis Colts team, then I might turn my tune around with the Falcons. But I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Even though the Falcons won, they didn't look good doing it. We're talking about a brilliant Matt Ryan audible away from them losing that game in a game in which Philly could – it's hard to imagine Philly get any more unlucky than they did. Mainly with injuries. Well, it's all, you know, context to why I'm not picking the Falcons because I didn't think they were that strong. And even with all of that, if Nelson Agholor just puts his damn hands out.
This is not fun. This is not even cute a little bit.
I'm taking the Colts.
Cool. Let's go to break. All right, good break. Let's move on. Next game.
Oakland Raiders versus the Minnesota Vikings. Ben, what do you think the line on this game? Oh, you have it in front of you. Minnesota's favored by 8.
Yeah. I'm taking Oakland plus 8 very happily here. Oakland is a team for which many events have occurred. it's chaos, right? Like, what in the name of God is this team? Well, here's what I know. Derek Carr is completing over 70% of his passes. Josh Jacobs is running at over 5 yards a click. They've got two NFL caliber wide receivers out there, Tyrell Williams and Hunter Renfrow. Indeed, Hunter Renfrow. He's not been statistically very strong, but the film is exactly what you'd expect for him starting out of the slot. They've got Darren Waller, who's their leading targeted player. He's been a very consistent guy for Derek Carr over the intermediate levels of the field. I think that this offense is functional under John Gruden, who, for everything John Gruden is, was never bad at designing and implementing a West Coast offense. I think that there is a offensive advantage in terms of philosophy and approach for Oakland over Minnesota. And at the very least, Oakland should be able to keep this within a one-score game. And even if they get outpaced early, Mike Zimmer, Minnesota Vikings, they're going to lay back. They're going to let Oakland pick up some points in garbage time. I like an 8-point spread a fair bit. I'm taking Oakland.
God, 8 points is a lot. God, I wish this was like a 6-point one. It'd be so much easier. Ah, screw it. Minnesota's going to cover.
No, they're not. Why would you say that?
Minnesota's going to cover.
What's it like to just lie?
I mean, I'm right, though. Why are you booing me? I'm right.
Okay. Who's it that keeps track of this? What's his name? Alex?
Joe, I believe.
Joe, this game counts double.
No, whoa, what? Hold on now.
Trevor, this is my podcast.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. New York Jets traveling to the New England Patriots. One of the aforementioned games that Ben was talking about at the beginning of the podcast. The Patriots in this game at home are favored by 23.5 points.
I have one question, Trevor.
Hold on. Before you ask it, the over-under in this game is 43.
Okay.
There is a team favored by 23.5 points, and the over-under is 43.5. There is no money line. Is there a money line where you're looking? Because I don't even have a money line on this game.
The money line for this game from Action Network is the Patriots are minus 3,500. So the Jets are plus 1750. So if you were to put $10 down on the Jets winning and they actually won, you would get $175 back.
If you put down $100 on the Jets winning, you get
$1,750.
You get $1,750.
Sounds like a great deal.
I'm doing this.
Please do.
I'm putting $100 on the Jets.
Okay. You are riding on Luke Falk, my friend.
All they have to do is install an air raid offense. It'll be fine.
I have never learned. This is related to Mike.
I'm just going to clip that right there. I have never learned, and I'm just going to play that over and over again every time a prospect that you liked.
Just like Mike, Mark, Matt, Vrabel, whatever the heck the Titans head coach name is, I refuse to learn how to pronounce Luke's last name. Falk. Be better at football, and then I'll learn.
Luke Falk?
Falk? Falk? Falk?
Falk.
Luke Falk.
Luke Falk.
It feels like
Luke
I'm
Falk.
Just cursing with an accent.
Luke Falk.
Luke Falk.
Luke Falk.
Luke, okay, so Luke is playing for the Jets.
Which, what, Skywalker? What are you talking about here?
Luke. Yeah, I mean, like, Trevor, this is a 23.5-point spread. In yes. no good consciousness can I take the Patriots, right? Like, that can't be allowed. So I'm going to take the Patriots to cover. Here's the question. Here's the question. The New England Patriots defense, which I were talking about before the show. I had them in fantasy. They scored me 37 fantasy points. Felt great. Yes. They've given up 3 points to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 0 points to the Miami Dolphins. They're playing Luke back. And the New York Jets offense under Adam Gase. The Patriots are going to be averaging 1 point allowed per game at the end of week three. I'm taking the Patriots against the spread. I don't care. I'll wait until they burn me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking the Patriots.
Yes.
I can't. How do I not, dude?
I'm in the coward boat with me.
I hate this. I hate this so much. And the next game doesn't get any better because the next game, the Miami Dolphins travel to the Dallas Cowboys.
What conference Miami Dolphins playing again?
Oh, boy. The American. And they're
it's
behind
the Missouri Valley,
and they're in the American, and they're still behind UCF. Dallas,
that's not going to end up Alabama versus Miami. I can't do that.
Dallas is favored by 21.5 points. Okay, look, last week I get it. It's the Patriots. It's the freaking New England Patriots. Okay, they beat the snot out of everybody. The Dallas Cowboys are favored by 21.5 points over Miami. Over-under on this game is 47. I don't have a money. Again, I don't have a money line in front of me. What do you bet? If you bet $100, what do you get on this one?
Let me grab it. Hang on. It's worth noting that the Cowboys opened up at 15.5 according to Action Network, and they're juiced to 21.5. So it's been a huge, huge, huge gain over the past couple days. The Patriots was 3,500. Dallas is just straight 3,000. So
1,500.
You need to wager $3,000 on the Dallas Cowboys winning to get $100 back. For the Dolphins, subsequently, it's $1,284.
Yeah.
So put $100 down, get $1,284 back if the Dolphins win. Dude, the Dallas Cowboys opened the season against the New York Giants. They beat the New York Giants. Then they played the Washington Redskins in week two. They beat the Washington Redskins. Now they're going to play the Miami Dolphins. And let's be honest, they're going to beat the Miami Dolphins. The Cowboys are going to be 3-0. Their opponents are going to be a combined 0-3. Combined 0-9, excuse me. Everyone will be 0-3. We need the Giants are playing
the Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers, they're going to lose that game. And then it's playing Chicago. They're going to lose that game. Both of those teams are not favored in those games. So if everything holds, combined 0-9. Then the Cowboys get the Saints without Drew Brees. Sunday Night Football. Amazing opening to the season of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
They'll get, at the time at which they played them, some of the worst playing teams in the league.
Yeah.
That's how you do it, man. Come on, installing a new offense. That's the way you do it. Slow ramp up. I will be taking the Cowboys minus 21.5, which I feel like filthy doing this because you should, like, plus 20-point spreads are like 1-6 against the spread. 20-point favorites, I should say, are 1-6 against the spread.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never seen a team like the Dolphins. We've never seen a team like the Dolphins. Trevor, you picking the Dolphins? You can't be. Minka's gone. Are they starting Rosen?
This might be the last time I do this.
Do it.
but I'm picking Miami. I have to. It's 21 and a half points. I have to pick Miami. I have to do it.
Touchdowns and then points.
Huh?
It's three whole touchdowns and then more than that.
Right. If Miami scores even 10, Dallas got to score more than 31 on their own.
I think the total is set at like 41, so.
It's 47.
47, okay. So, I mean, they're applying a lot of points there.
And if that's happening, I've got Miami getting some of them. I'm taking Miami. Now I'm also super tempted to put $100 on Miami and $100 on the Jets, both the money line. And if I hit both of them, I get more than $3,000.
Well, parlay it if you hit both of them. The parlay would be out of this world.
Oh, yeah. Can I do that with anything? Can I, like, parlay anything?
Yeah.
So what would that be? So then what would that look like?
I can see if I can calculate it while we're talking.
Okay, we'll do that. Do that. All right. I want you to calculate it while we're talking, because now I'm honestly thinking about throwing money down on the Jets winning outright and the Dolphins just because of how ridiculous it is. And I think that we talked in the podcast last episode.
I got it.
Okay.
Action Network does it for you because Action Network is amazing.
Okay.
So if you were to put $100 down.
Yes.
Two-way parlay.
Yes.
On Miami Dolphins beating the Cowboys outright and the Jets beating the Patriots outright.
Yes.
You would return. Are you ready?
Yes.
$25,000.
Get out of here!
$504.
If I put $100 down?
Yes. And both Miami and the Jets win.
I win $25,000.
Yes. Feel free, Theo. You do whatever it makes you happy. I'm doing this. Okay.
I'm 100% doing this.
I will ride and die with you through those first three drives of Jets versus Patriots when it's 21-0.
I'm going to post a screenshot on Sunday morning, and I'm going to be like, good morning, everyone. If the Jets and Dolphins both win, I get $25,000, and it's just going to be a screenshot of it.
Go for it, man. I mean, like, this is what's fun about sports gambling, dude.
New York Giants traveling to Tampa. Speaking of the game that I'm actually going to be at, Bucks are favored by 7. Daniel Jones, new starting quarterback for your New York football Giants. How do we feel about
it? There's one defensive coordinator I could choose to not have my first start in the NFL against.
Yep.
It might be Todd Bowles.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Bowles saw the news and immediately, like, drew himself a nice bubble bath, put on some peaceful music, lit a couple of aromatic candles, hopped in, and just fever dreamed about 8-man pressures for an hour.
He's going to blitz the crap out of him, man.
It's going to be scary. And the thing is, like, oh, but the Giants have weapons that can hurt. Not really. Not really. it's like, okay, Sterling Shepard.
Yeah.
Meh. Evan Ingram. Not really. No. You know what I mean? It's not like there's an Odell who you don't want to leave out there on an island. He's gone now. He played in Cleveland. I watched him do it on Monday night. So, I mean, it's, to me, this is a situation where, from a line perspective, because I don't know what exactly you're going to be getting from Daniel Jones in terms of the quality of his play, in terms of how the team is going to get up and rally around him. It's a stay-away line. Like, if obviously we weren't doing it for the game, I wouldn't touch it. I think that the numbers for rookie quarterbacks in their first starts – tend to be very bad against the spread. So I'm willing to take a Tampa team, long rest, coming off a big win with an NFC South, as we talked about, it's suddenly a little bit more open than it was. I'll take Tampa -6.5. I like that line.
Initially, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to pick the Giants in the 7 points because I think Tampa's going to win, but they're not exactly – they haven't been a team to, you know, like, go after teams offensively. But there's just not a lot countering what the Giants are going to do on offense. And where I know Bruce Arians, he talked earlier this week about having a lot of respect for Saquon Barkley and making sure that they're keying in on him to stop him. They held Christian McCaffrey to his lowest output in his entire NFL career last Thursday on a short week. You know, and I understand that, you know, Cam might not have been what he was, and maybe the passing game wasn't complimenting it as well, but like they completely shut down Christian McCaffrey and that kind of weaponry. And I do think Saquon's a better overall talent than McCaffrey, just in size, speed, strength. But they knew how to handle him. And so I don't think it bodes well for the Giants in either way, with Daniel Jones at quarterback and with Saquon Barkley being their emphasis, as long as Todd Bowles is the offensive or the defense coordinator. So you know what? I'm going to take Tampa to cover too. I'm going to say that they cover.
New Orleans. I appreciate you back in the home team after we had to fade the Eagles. Makes me glad.
Yeah, no problem. The New Orleans Saints. Teddy Bridgewater traveling to Seattle. Seattle at home favored by 4.5.
I loved Seattle line against Pittsburgh last week. I don't remember if that went well for me or not.
I don't think it did because they won by a point, though, right?
They won by two.
Okay.
And they were 4-point dogs. So, yes.
Oh, they were 4-point dogs?
Yes. And I'm pretty sure you picked Pittsburgh, coward. Anyway, I like the Seattle line again.
Oh, yeah, I think I did.
The Seattle team is not as afraid to pass the football, to move the sticks, as they were last year. The running game is not nearly as effective as it was last year, which obviously kind of volume diluted the efficacy of the running game, but it was not as effective as it was. They're more willing to pass the ball, and they've got themselves what they drafted in DK Metcalf. So they have two very legitimate weapons, and Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf cause problems on the outside. Going up against the New Orleans Saints teams with Marshawn Lattimore, who people aren't talking about, it has been playing bad football since the end of last year and now into this year. I think that Seattle, big win. I think a big win for Seattle. 4.5 for Bridgewater. Like, Bridgewater's a good backup. He ain't 4.5
up. I'm with you. Seattle. Yeah, I'm with you. Seattle.
Yeah.
Houston Texans traveling to L.A. They're playing the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers favored by 3.
This one stresses me out.
I'm taking Deshaun. Give me Houston. Give me Houston the points. That Chargers O-line ain't going to hold up. I don't care if it's
sure. You seen the Chargers defensive line?
I mean, I think I trust Deshaun to cope with his offensive line more than I do Rivers, which is saying something because I like Rivers a lot. You know I do. But in that sense, with that back and forth that we literally just had right there, this is a pretty even game, and give me Deshaun getting the 3 points in this one.
Right, and also, like, you know, the Chargers' home field advantage doesn't actually exist. It's not real. It's a myth.
Well, they play in, like, a high school soccer stadium, so.
Right. Yeah, I'll take Houston +3. I don't like this one at all, though. I don't know what the Chargers are. I don't know what the Texans are.
There we go. Pittsburgh.
+3. If anything, to just protect my record against you.
Pittsburgh. Going to San Francisco. San Francisco favored by 6.5. It's the Mason Rudolph show in Pittsburgh.
Good old Rayson Rudolph.
Rayson Rudolph.
I'll take San Francisco -6.5. I'm going to fade the round three rookie who was having trouble, you know, beating away Josh Dobbs this time last year. I'll fade a Pittsburgh team that always seems to play down. Who never seems to travel well. I will take a San Francisco team that is quietly, surprisingly, unexpectedly 2-0 on a homestead with an opportunity here to beat what seemed like was going to be a good AFC team in the Steelers. I don't anticipate there being much of a rally around Mason Rudolph the way that I said there potentially could be around Daniel Jones. He's been around for a while. I don't think there's going to be a big up sort of a move for him. And now that he's in his first start, I don't anticipate the Steelers being a very good team with Mason Rudolph as their player.
I'm not that impressed with San Francisco, which is funny for me to say because going into the Bucs game before week one, I sounded like I was higher on San Francisco than a lot of other people. And here at this point, I kind of think that they're the same team that I believe that they were, except now they're 2-0, and it feels like everybody's now overcompensating for the kind of 2-0 that they've been. And I'm like, okay, well, not... I mean, it's not like they're blowing these teams out. It's not like Jimmy G's looking incredible. It's not like everything's coming together for them. Yeah, they're 2-0, but they're not that different of a team than what I thought they were going into the season. So with that being said, I still think that they have a long way to go. Cohesiveness with offense and defense, especially with quarterback. But I mean, the Steelers, I mean, what am
I don't know.
what am
I think the I think the San Francisco dysfunction with Jimmy G was 85% media narrative and 10% things.
No, right. No, and that's why it sounded like I was way higher on the 49ers going into the year than everybody else was, because I didn't believe that crap. I was like, oh, you guys are just making up stories at this point. Okay, so he had a couple of bad practices. So what? We've already seen what Jimmy G can do when he's on the actual football field during actual regular season games, and he's been fine. And as long as those are building blocks, I think the 49ers are going to be good. They have good offensive pieces around him. I like Kyle Shanahan as an offensive mind. The defensive line's gross. You know, and they could build the defense out from there at that point. San Francisco is a lot of what I thought that they were already. I just don't trust Pittsburgh without Ben. 6.5 is rich for me for San Francisco, but yeah. I'd rather put it down on the line for a team that I believe can be good than try to bet the curve on a team that I don't think is good to, like, hold on enough.
Yeah, dude, do respect, because Tampa plays. Oh, no, wait, Tampa's a 1 o'clock game. Nope, Tampa's a 4 o'clock game.
Tampa's a 4 o'clock game. Why?
Do respect, this 4 o'clock slate is booty.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I'm glad that Tampa. I have the game that I'm covering it for.
Pitt with no Ben. New Orleans with no Breeze. Houston Chargers, I think it's just going to be like a miracle of mishaps, just like every team being bad for no reason.
The 1 o'clock games are great for me, especially on games that I'm at home in the Buck Stadium, because they play Red Zone Channel on all of the giant screens during the 1 o'clock games, like in the stadium.
Stand heroes.
And so, like, I'm just sitting there in the press box at my laptop watching 8 different screens of Red Zone, and it's going to have Aaron Rodgers on one TV, the Eagles offense on another, Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City on another, Atlanta versus the Colts on another, and then I'll get to watch myself potentially, lose $100 with the Jets and the Dolphins. So I love that these games are the crappy ones are at 425. The 8:20 game, Los Angeles Rams traveling to Cleveland to face our Browns. Los Angeles on the road, favored by 3.
LA, I think we're overreacting here to what's been some slow starts for the Rams. I think we've still got a ton of juice.
That says the Rams are poised for regression.
Yeah, but 3 points to the Browns with how the Browns have looked. Browns didn't look good against the Jets. This is a Jets team that's an underdog by 20-plus points. Okay, this Jets team absolutely sucks. It took the Browns 3 quarters to break the Jets defense actually open. And it was, you know, third and long trip set, which is Greg Williams' kryptonite because he doesn't know how to count to 3. Jeez. Or Beckham Jr., 89-yard slant. You know what I mean? I just don't even get me started on that play. I think Rams by 3 is a pretty comfortable margin. This is one of the most heavily bet games favored for the Rams on Action Network slate. And I think appropriately so. This is open as 1.5-point favorite for the Rams. It's now up to 3. I think it's going to continue to climb. I think it'll be 4, 4.5 by the time we get to kickoff.
Yeah, I'm going Rams. Yeah, I want to pick the Browns so bad, but
no. I mean, it'd be fun.
It would be fun. I'm all about fun, but yeah. Not here. Monday night game, Chicago at Washington. What an absolute stinker this is going to be. Chicago, favored by 4.
I will take the early bedtime, plus 150.
I was going to say, the over-under on this game is 41.5 for a Monday night football game. The
over-under on when I fall asleep is 9:15.
The only game that has a lower over-under is the other primetime game, Thursday night, Tennessee against Jacksonville.
How does the league not able to correctly schedule primetime games?
I don't know. I here's the thing though, Ben. Do they want to? Because like Sunday is all about, Sunday is all about football, right? So if you take too many matchups away from like the afternoon slate, you don't want to be like shooting yourself in the foot, right? Because like people like waking up and watching football at 1. And I know, like, Monday night football games, there's not a lot else going on, but if they have the chance to boost up ratings for a game that would otherwise not get watched, I mean, does that go into the equation a little bit? Because it doesn't really make any sense why these Thursday night games suck all the time, you know?
I have no idea. To me, none of that makes sense.
Okay, well, maybe.
I just, like, I, like, I, It's a prime time slot, first Saturday, Sunday of the year, second Sunday of the year. I want nothing more than to watch two good teams play. I've been waiting for months to stay up to 11:30 at the edge of my seat, watch two teams I don't root for in an absolute just, you know, punching match. Rams Chiefs last year?
Oh, like, incredible.
You're not going to get Rams Chiefs every game of year. I get that. But, like, that is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
It's not there. But anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Doesn't matter. Right, in a battle of Mitchell Trubisky versus Case Keenum, again, I will take my bed at 9:15, but I actually do like Washington plus +4 here.
Same.
I think Chicago is reeling. I think that Keenum has looked better than people realize against a good Philly team, a good Dallas team over the first couple of weeks of the season.
Yep.
And this front seven for Washington can play a little ball. Cole Holcomb, fifth-round rookie out of UNC. Man, that linebacker's playing real well for a young kid. Impressive stuff. Jim Thompson always got that defensive front right as well. I think that Washington sneakily has a good angle on the win, but I do believe plus +4 is a good line for them.
I think they're going to cover too. I'm going with Washington as well. I've been very impressed with them, even in their losses here in this early part of the season. I thought they were going to be the teams that were maybe favored or going up against guys who were favored against 20 for them, and here they are going up against Chicago on Monday night, and it's only a 4-point spread. So. Little right. things, I guess. Little things for Washington. I think they're a lot better than people are giving them credit for. All right, that's it. It's all of them. It's the Lions. That's the NFL weekend.
I love how you end the Thursday pause always with, all right, that's it. That's it. That's the end. That's it.
That's it. No more bets.
Stop asking.
Actually, that's not true because I'm going to place a $100 parlay bet.
Herbert, don't do this.
Just on New York and Miami to win $25,000.
I'm just saying, if you want to waste $100, just give me the $100.
And then you're going to bet it?
No, I'm going to, like, buy a hamburger.
For $100?
Not $100. I'm just saying, like, I'm going to, like do things with it that's not completely wasting it on a parlay between the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. But also do it. It'll be funny.
Got to spend money to make money, brother. That's the motto. Tomorrow! Okay. We didn't forget about you guys. Fan Fridays tomorrow. Fan Fridays have been, over the last couple of weeks, no short of absolutely fantastic. You guys bring it every single week with the questions. I know that this week isn't going to be any different. We're going to have a new episode of The Hunger Games, which Mark's loading up for. We're going to have probably plenty of other reoccurring questions. If you had a question last week that we weren't able to get to, make sure you ask
it.
Don't
ask it because we hated it.
Make sure you ask it again this week because we will get to them eventually. It's normally the order in which the tweets go by. And sometimes I bounce around a little bit because sometimes the order of the replies for the tweets where we ask questions are not chronological. So you always have a chance to like get to the top. Not sure how that works. Twitter's been a little bit weird with that lately. But if you get your questions in earlier, if you're looking for them on a Wednesday or a Thursday, that's the way you can get on the show the best. But if you keep asking questions or if you DM us, I promise that we will get to it eventually. Can't wait for Fan Friday tomorrow. Football this weekend. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.